It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and it's a very special Kaleidoscope. It's one that people wait for all year long. And we lost Leo Bartosz.
February 5th.
Okay.
Just about a year ago.
Almost a year ago.
Yep.
And every year he was very loyal at getting with us and giving us the Onion Report. And
yeah. And actually on his death certificate, they asked us if he went by any other name. So we had put down the Onion Man.
The
on
Onion
his death.
Man.
Yep. On his death certificate.
Everybody knows who it is. But
yep.
Anybody that's grown up in Windham is very familiar with this. And we're going to talk about all of it. First, though, we have a new Leo Jr. here with us today.
Yes.
So, Monica Mueller, we appreciate you coming in. And in memory of your dad, and just to kind of carry this on, we appreciate you doing this.
Well, like I said, when I was doing it, I could just hear him yelling over my shoulder, "You're doing that wrong. You're doing that wrong." So there was probably something that I did do wrong. And I know I was talking earlier to Steve saying that I found a piece of paper and it said that you're only supposed to sprinkle a fourth of a teaspoon of salt on the onions. I did a full teaspoon. So that's probably what he was yelling at me for. So next year, I'm going to do a half a teaspoon and a full teaspoon and have two sets of onions and see if they vary.
See what the difference is.
Yeah, because I really, really don't think it was a fourth of a teaspoon. I helped him with onions the year before he died, and I swore that I watched him use a teaspoon. So that's what I went with this year. So I'll try two things next year.
Now, we should point out that you have to wait until next year to do it because the time to do this is over.
Always on New Year's Eve.
It has to be on
New Year's Eve. Yes.
Okay. And a lot of people have come to town in the last year, so this will be repetition to everybody that knows. But what is the Onion Report?
Okay. So on December 31st, usually, you know, in the later evening, you know, it can be just 6-7 o'clock is fine, that you go and take your onions and you peel off that shell that's on the outside, but then you cut your onion in half, stem to stem, and then you take a knife and kind of hollow out the inside. And I know I had a couple onions that the stem kind of fell out then too, so you got to be really careful to try to leave as much of a whole circle you can so that the water does not run out of them. So just be very careful when you're trimming it out to get a nice little well pit in the middle of that onion. And then you take a teaspoon of, hopefully, salt and sprinkle that around on the onion all the way around the outside and then dump some in the middle of it. And I use apple trays, the fruit trays, because when you put these onions down, you got to try to get them as flat as possible so that the moisture or the water will not run out of them so you can get them measured accurately.
That's common sense. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think also, too, like a cupcake holder tray would work. Mm-hmm. So anything that will make sure that your onions stay stable or steady or whatever and sit flat to make sure the moisture stays inside the well of the onion. So you just put it in your basement and preferably someplace that's a little more cooler and dark. And then you just let them sit there, and you can label one for every month. So you'll have 6 onions, cut them in half, you'll have your 12 halves. And then you put January on the left, and then just line 12 up in a row. And so when you go to read them the next morning, I did mine at like at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so then you just start, obviously, with January, it'd be on your far left, and you take that onion and you dump it out and you measure the water that was inside that onion. It might be a drop. It might be just a fourth of a teaspoon, half of a teaspoon, full teaspoon. It might be overflowing. So to kind of know the measurement there, that if it's just a drop or two, there's drought. If it's probably a quarter, you know, there's a fair amount of precipitation, but not a whole lot. Half you might get by with, but a normal teaspoon would mean normal precipitation. If it's overflowing with water, then we're going to be in trouble. That's downpours, flooding, whatever, but adequate for sure, overflowing, is more than the teaspoon.
One of the things that's amazing to me is, and we talked beforehand about the accuracy of this whole thing, and it varies a lot depending on your physical location, and even a couple blocks away,
yes,
you could have different results.
There was one sentence I was going to say here is that the weatherman is the only person that can keep a job and be 100% wrong at it and not get fired for his job at being wrong. So that's where it's like, I'll just say these things here of how my onions went, because if they're totally wrong, who knows? But I guess it's just something fun to do and watch.
Well, and, you know, Leo has said it's about 80% accurate.
Yeah.
The other thing that is really amazing to me, I can't understand it. You put the same amount of salt in each one.
Yeah.
But they're sitting right next to each other.
Yep.
But yet the amount of moisture that ends up coming out of these things is completely different from half onion to half onion.
Yeah, my biggest one was January. We had 3/4 of a teaspoon. And February, it was like zero. The salt had not even gotten damp. It was still, I could put my finger in there and still pick the salt crystals out.
Huh.
And so,
so that would tell us that we're going to have an about normal January,
yep,
and a very dry February.
Yeah, let's hope after this last week.
Yeah, yeah, we could be dry for a day or two.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of run through what I had for a comparison here. And I'm also going to use my cousin, Mari Byam. She lives here in Windham in the city limits. And then we'll just kind of do a comparison there of what she had to what I had. So for January, I had the 3/4 of a teaspoon. Mari had a 1/2 teaspoon. February, like I said, I had zero moisture that I had from the onion. Salt was still standing. She had a 1/2 teaspoon. March, I had 3/4 of a teaspoon. Hers was a 1/2 teaspoon. April, mine was a 1/2 teaspoon, and she only had a 1/4 teaspoon. May, it was a 1/4 teaspoon, and there was still salt left in the onion, but it was at least damp, not like it was in February. It was still crystals. And she had a 1/4 teaspoon. In June, I had a teaspoon. Mari had a 1/2 teaspoon. In July, I had 1 teaspoon. She had a 1/2 teaspoon. August, there was just a couple drops. And again, the salt was just damp. And hers showed 3 drops of water. So maybe we'll have a dry fare.
It sounds like it.
In September, I had a teaspoon. She had a 1/2 teaspoon. October, I had 1 teaspoon. And she again had 1 drop. And her salt was not dissolved. In November, mine was 3/4 of a teaspoon. And Mari's was a 1/4. In December, mine was a 1/2 teaspoon. Hers was a 1/2 teaspoon.
So even though the numbers change, they do run fairly consistent.
Yeah, they're maybe about a 1/4 teaspoon off, really.
Yeah.
So they're not that far off. But like I said, there was none of them that were overflowing. So it kind of looks like normal or average precipitation, not like last year, where I had it wrote down here someplace that in 2022, January had 3/4 of a teaspoon, but from February all the way through August, they were only either a 1/4 teaspoon or a 1/2 teaspoon, so that's where our drought was at. September, I would say, was wrong, because that one showed a 1/2 teaspoon, and I don't remember any rain in September and October, and October's only had a drop. And that's where we had our drought for the fall. And November was a 1/2 teaspoon. And December, it was just the salt was just wet. And that was for 2022. So I'm going to say we're going to have more rain than last year, but not overabundance.
Still not above.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It just, it's fun to do. It's fun to hear about, but it also really gives you an indicator of what we can look for this year.
Yeah, and us Minnesotans, probably what we're known for is talking about the weather.
Yes.
Yep, that we can always talk about the weather. That's always a new conversation.
Yep, definitely.
I'm type of the weather person. I get up in the morning, I look outside and say, okay, the sun is shining, open the door up and say, okay, I need a coat today, and then I'm good to go.
So this is the official Onion Report for 2023.
For our area.
For our area.
Just out of a little bit of fun here, too, Mari had her sister-in-law do it out in Myrtle, South Dakota. And so if you're familiar with Interstate 90 out there, that January was damp. February is very, very wet. March was very wet. April was very, very wet. May was very wet. June was damp. July was wet. August was very wet. September was very wet. October and November both showed dry, and December was very wet. So it sounds like they're going to have...
They're going to get more moisture than
yeah,
we are.
Than we will, yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what their grass looks like when we drive through South Dakota this
there
summer.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. This has been... Leo's done this. We were trying to figure out for a lot of years, like dating back maybe even to the 50s.
Yeah, so. I found a piece of paper in his weather book, and it said 1957. So he said that, well, it showed in his subtraction there that he had done it for 65 years.
So we know there's some validity to this, because practice makes perfect. But it also is part of that old-time weather wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
That, and you brought along some other ones, too, that people maybe don't talk about. You know, I remember growing up hearing if the cattle are laying down, a storm's coming.
Yep.
You know, but I don't know that people hear those weather sayings like we used to.
Yeah. I just got one more thing to add in with the salt thing is that... with dividing factors, if you guys watch the weather news, usually like Interstate 90 is the weather divider, that one side of the interstate will have something, the other side of the interstate will have the other thing. Here in our area, we have, like I said, Interstate 90, Red Rock Ridge is a huge one, and then the truck route out by Industrial Park is another place where the moisture can stop or end. And then the other one is actually just north of where I live out on 71 too, that probably there for just those 3-4 stretches a mile from the truck route to, like I said, I live 3.5 miles north on 71, that there's a weather ridge that changes just like a half mile up the road from my house. So we're kind of in a different area just in that 3-mile span where it's like driving into town, we don't have our wipers on at our house, but when I hit the truck route, I got to turn the wipers
on.
And vice versa. The other day, it snowed out my mother-in-law's all day out by Delft. We didn't have nothing. And so it was like, there's that front there with the one north of my house. And like I said, Red Rock Ridge is a big one, too, with Highway 30.
And I don't know why. It isn't, when you think ridge, you think, well, the terrain. There's a drastic change in the terrain. And... to some extent, that happens, but if you think of I-90, it doesn't change that, you know, one side's not a hill and the other side's not a valley.
No,
so.
But a lot of times you'll hear the interstate is closed because the snow is so deep.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. It's fascinating stuff. Okay, leave us with some words of wisdom. Yeah, if you want to read a couple of these.
Well... horses run fast before a violent storm or before windy conditions. And I know we've had, I've got horses, and if the farrier is coming that day and it's windy out, a lot of times we'll tell her, you know, we can't even get close to the horses, that they're just running. And it's kind of like, there must be a storm coming
Something's
in.
Something's happening.
I know that one is true. Some of these here I've never heard before either, but it says, if autumn leaves are slow to fall, expect a cold winter. If the sky turns green in a storm where there is hail.
Now, I've heard that one before, that if the sky looks green, there's hail in those clouds.
Okay. In the evening, when crickets are in the cool grass, count the number of chirps they make in 14 seconds. This will be the temperature in their location.
That one may be one we have to try just to see.
Yeah. The coldest time of the day is often shortly after sunrise. The sun warms the earth just enough to stir up cold air on the ground.
And that is definitely true.
Okay.
That the temperature dips when the sun comes up.
I'll have to watch that one too.
Yeah.
The first frost of autumn will be exactly 6 months after the first thunderstorm of the spring. I know farmers watch that all the time. When we get our first thunder or lightning, they'll write down on the calendar saying, okay, 6 months from today, we're going to have our first frost. What should I plant?
Okay.
In the winter, a heavy snow is predicted if the barometer falls and the temperature rises. I don't watch barometers.
Yeah, I don't pay a lot of attention to the barometer.
If the perfume of flowers in if the perfume of flowers is heavy in the air, rain is soon to come. Haven't heard that one.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
If any earthworms appear, rain is soon to follow.
See, in that one, most of the time it's the other way.
Yeah, they come out
after
it
rains.
Yeah. Maybe that's in a different state. Yeah,
there you go.
Bluebirds chatter when it's going to rain. It will be a snowy winter if hair on horses is thick early in the fall. That one is true.
That one you've noticed,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I can notice that if my horses start getting their winter coat early, we're going to be in for a doozy.
Hmm.
And then with temperatures, like last winter, if you probably can't forget how cold it was last winter, how many record-breaking days we had with cold weather, then you're going to have that many hot days. And I remember there were many, many days that I didn't want to go outside because it was so hot I couldn't handle it.
I'll be darned.
So it kind of all averages out after a year.
All right. We're about out of time here. Do we have one or two more good ones we need to share?
Watch the squirrels. If the squirrels are accumulating a lot of nuts and have thick, bushy tails, it's going to be a bad winter. If there's a lot of berries left on a tree, you're supposed to have lots of snow. And I know one that I always kind of watch is muskrat houses on lakes. That if muskrats build a really, really tall house, that's how deep the water is going to be in the spring. That they build it high enough so they don't drown in their house.
Does it work?
That
is
one
that
there,
accurate?
I do believe in. Because in the spring, if you drive around then and see how high the water is on those muskrat houses, they're always sticking above water.
Huh. Well, I'd never heard that one before.
Yep.
All right. Monica, we really appreciate you coming in and talking with us and going through the Onion Report. And I think you made Leo proud today.
Probably.
Very good.
I felt him smile on New Year's Eve, too.
Absolutely. This report will be posted on our website. And we also have got Leo's last report still on there, too. So you can listen to that one as well.
Sure.
Monica, thank you.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Monica Moeller with our Onion Report in memory of Leo this morning on KDOM.